Welcome to the Heart Journey podcast show. I am Dr. Barbara Jean Losove. I am coming to you as a Christian minister, but I am also a psychologist. So we're going to talk about how faith encounters psychology. Today, we have Pastor Kate Smith, who with her husband, Duncan Smith, stewards the Catch the Fire movement, which used to be the Toronto Blessing. And lots of our favorite people have come out of there, out of the Toronto Blessing, Randy Clark, Heidi Baker and others. And today we're going to talk about overcoming codependency. We're still talking about from codependent to Christ dependent. We're going to go deep with Pastor Kate Smith. So you're going to enjoy this. Welcome to the Heart Journey podcast show. I am Dr. Barbara Jean Losove. I am coming to you as a minister. As you know, though, I am a psychologist. So we're going to go deep. And today I have my dear friend, Kate Smith, who is, gosh, an apostle with the Catch the Fire movement. Welcome, Pastor Kate.
Oh, it's so good to be with you again, Dr. Barbara. So good. Just love your podcast and the issues that you're talking about. It's amazing.
Yes. Well, you know, I believe that when Jesus quoted Isaiah 61 and Luke 4, I'm assuming that he read that whole passage, that he came to heal the brokenhearted. And that is part of the call of God, like the vibration of God that comes through me. Now, for those of you that don't know Kate and Duncan Smith, they are stewarding the Catch the Fire movement around the world. And it's a movement of multiplication. It's literally people are catching the fire. And it's a movement of releasing the Holy Spirit, the fire of God. And they are an amazing couple. And we consider their church to be one of our home churches here in Raleigh-Durham, North Carolina, where their daughter and son-in-law are now pastoring. So exciting legacy. Yeah. And for those of you who remember the Toronto Blessing, Catch the Fire basically is the Toronto Blessing. So why don't you give us a little bit of that background? Yeah. And then we're going to, Kate, I would love for us to move really deep into codependency versus the life of the Spirit. But for those who are new to Catch the Fire, you want to tell them a little bit about what's happening in the movement?
Yes. Yeah. Basically, 31 years ago, there was a sovereign move of the Holy Spirit in a small church in Toronto near the airport there. And people were literally on their faces, falling in the power, under the power of God. And it was across the whole room. And it started a move of God. And Randy Clark, who many people know, he was the man, the minister that was there. And he'd just been in Argentina and he just said, come, Holy Spirit. And if anyone wants more of God, come. And it was just so simple and sovereign. There was no methodology. And they were just trying to grasp what God was doing. And that led to 12 years of nightly revival meetings. Apart from Mondays, they took the day off. And people, millions of people came from all over the world, and particularly many leaders who'd been in ministry, burnt out in ministry, came and got revolutionized and set on fire and, you know, brought alive again by the Spirit of God, including people like Heidi and Roland Baker, who had been struggling missionaries in Mozambique. And God just turned their ministry upside down from that moment. And other people like Nikki Gumbel, who founded Alpha Ministries, we were just talking about this recently. He had this little evangelism course, and it wasn't much. He came to Toronto, got revolutionized by the Holy Spirit, and added a component which was introducing who the Holy Spirit is to people that are searching in faith, for faith. And the Alpha course now is one of the best known evangelistic tools that's gone all over the world. And so from there, we began to go to the nations as well. And then God started speaking to us about taking the fire, taking the values, and actually establishing dwelling places, which are really the local expression of the church around cities and nations in the world. And people are being impacted by the Father's love, being rooted and grounded in that love as the foundation for everything that we do in ministry.
So good. Kate, did you know that neuroscience is beginning to show us that when we think about God, when we pray, when we meditate on God, it literally changes our brain? That there's this whole field called theo and neuro together. I forget how it goes.
Yeah.
But literally, we have more patience, more self-control. We get more into our higher cortex and less in out of our fight and flight. That our brain is literally made for God.
Wow.
It's so exciting.
That's amazing because, you know, just talking and reliving those stories just in that moment, just sharing the testimony, I begin to tune in to the presence of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Just as you remember what he did and what he's doing. Mm-hmm. And I can see how that would just light up your brain in a different way.
That's amazing. It literally, we can see it on imaging. It literally rewires our brain. They're doing studies. Neurotheology, that's what it is. Dr. Andrew Nurberg is doing some of that work. He's not even a believer. And he's seeing this. I know. What? It's so exciting. So our brain is made for God. Mm-hmm. And one of the things we're talking about in this series is codependency. I've identified it as a worship disorder. And when I brought it all the way back to the garden, I think I see it with Adam and Eve, that Eve wanted control or knowledge outside of God, but Adam chased Eve. Mm. And that was, to me, the first codependent sin. Yeah. Like sin, a lot of our sin is rooted in this following people saying, I want you more than I want to do it God's way. I want connection with you more than connection with God.
Yeah.
And so I think healing from codependency, you know, all that, defining that kind of as control, caretaking, all that worrying, feeling like a victim, feeling like my needs are never met, all that anger and criticism that we have towards one another because you're not meeting my needs. The healing from that comes back when we have that secure relationship with the Father. So I was wondering if you would talk about that because you're talking about the presence of the Holy Spirit and you're talking about the love of the Father. These things that our brain was wired for, and that the hole in our heart cries out for, and yet we chase human love.
Yeah,
which is fine. It's okay to have human love as long as we're in the Spirit. But when we chase it out of the Spirit, it's not okay.
Well, you know, Scripture says that we should love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then love our neighbor as ourselves. So you've got to love God first. He has to be the priority. Mm-hmm. And then you can't love your neighbor until you've loved yourself. And actually, having idolatrous relationships where they take the place of our relationship first and foremost with our Father and with Jesus and the Holy Spirit, then that's when things start getting squirrely. And I think, you know, many of us have not necessarily been taught how to live in communion with Jesus, how to receive the love of our Father in heaven, because we've had such disrupted, dysfunctional lenses of our own earthly fathers that we're not always able to get there first, right? So we first have to be healed in our relationship with our Father and Mother. And, you know, if we've had trauma, we've had, you know, all sorts of things where we've been separated from our Father and Mother, then I think that's when the balance of our relationship with our Heavenly Father can get skewed. And so it's definitely the beginning, just knowing who we are and having that relationship healed again with our Father in heaven through very much forgiving and releasing our earthly parents from their dysfunction towards us.
Yeah.
Because they weren't perfect.
Mm-mm. Yeah, there's a theory called object relations. So it's like, if this is me as a child, one of my ministry people made that for me, isn't that cute? But if this is me as a child and this is my parent, so here's the pattern. Okay, so now this is me as an adult, and this is God, I have that same pattern. And so it's kind of gets written in our implicit memory.
Yes.
And it feels, the thing is, it feels like it's about now. It feels like it's about God. It feels like it's about my husband, but it's actually not. You're right. It's where the past is present and it's stuck in us in like an emotion and body memory.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Totally. And I think we don't become fully aware of our union with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit until we begin to experience some healing from trauma and wounding and locked emotions and unexpressed grief and all sorts of things like that. Because we're just skirting the surface, so to speak. And therefore, if we're skirting the surface with God as, you know, three persons in one, then we can tend to switch our connection to our spouse or our children, or we have an expectation of friendships in our life that we're pulling on. And that's where this codependency can begin to form, because we've not learned the healthy patterns of attachment to maybe our family and significant people. And so therefore and therefore to God. And so there are symptoms of people bleeding out with the codependency. And a lot of it is because they don't know their identity as a son or a daughter of our Heavenly Father.
Yeah.
Because they're scared of going there, you know?
Yeah.
Don't understand
it. I think there's something in us that wants it from people. Like we really want what we didn't get from our mom or our dad from people. And the reason, I don't know why it's so profound. I think it's profound. I think it's because it's not good for man to be alone. So there's a piece of truth to it.
Yes.
But why, when Adam was connected to the Father, he left the Father to follow Eve in sin, makes no sense other than this is a huge temptation for us.
Totally. Because, you know, an alternative scenario was that Adam could have said to Eve, you hang on, don't do anything yet. Let's go and talk to our Father. Mm-hmm. Let's ask his opinion. Because actually, Adam and Eve were created for that relationship with God in the garden.
Yeah.
And they somehow bypass that relational connection and pushing into their Father to ask, is that really a good choice for me to take?
Yes.
And I think that's been the pattern. And because of that sin and that mistake, then it leads to shame-based behavior around everything.
Exactly.
And I think even codependency is, I've got to hide because there's something implicitly wrong. But if I'm attached to this person, then they make me feel better, or I feel better myself.
Yeah.
And they're getting their human soul needs met from another person that God never designed that we would have that.
Yeah, it's got to be, you know, he is the vine and he actually is the nourishment. Mm-hmm. I was thinking today about how we're under an open heaven, like Catch the Fire is so good about acknowledging that we're under an open heaven. It's all already been done through Jesus. But I do think when we look at the Jewish temple and there are places where there are more people, and the farther you go in, there's less and less people allowed to come until finally in the Holy of Holies, only the priest was allowed to come. Now, obviously, we're under open heaven. We can all go into the Holy of Holies. But do we really like to live there? Or are we wanting to be out where there's less intimacy with God, but more people? And today I was thinking about my flesh really wanted to kind of worry about something that I know God is changing. It's like, it was like an impatience with how fast something was changing.
Yeah.
And I knew that I could step further into the Spirit and just stare at Jesus and be so content because Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father doing. Like we can live in that Holy of Holies. It's there. There's no veil. But sometimes we don't step into that because we like the hustle, bustle, the busy, the worry, the all this stuff that's a few layers out.
Yeah. And we try and fix everything.
Yes.
Our human nature, especially as women, we just want to fix everything, make it right. But why? Why don't we trust our Father to sort those things out for us, to take care of things? Because I understand about the whole patience and when things are not moving to your timeline, and we get impatient and we want to kind of step in and control, command, whatever. Mm-hmm. Whereas, you know, do we take it to our Father in prayer? Are we praying continually? Are we asking? Are we saying, Father, I don't know how to do this without causing pain to somebody, or my reaction is not going to be right. Help me. Lead me by your Spirit so that I can press into you more and say less, maybe, you know?
Yeah.
And that hustle is a restlessness. And I think it's a restlessness in our soul that we resist the very thing that we need to do, which is to run to Him and to maintain that union with Him and to live in that peace and the rest that He wants for us. But, you know, there's just so many demands on our time that we can slip into earth mode. We slip into soul rather than staying in the Spirit.
Yes. Yeah. I love what you said about restlessness. And then, of course, there's Augustine, my soul is restless until it finds rest in you.
That's right. Yeah.
So one of the things the Lord has deeply, deeply worked with me and my husband on this past year is codependency. And we've been doing some like 12-step work with the Lord and kind of digging deep and looking at our patterns. And it's been incredibly life-changing. It's been really, really good for us to just hone in and focus on where we have dysfunctional patterns in our marriage. And it's deep work, and it's really work that I encourage people everywhere to do. I rarely meet someone that doesn't have this worship disorder of some sort of codependency. Sometimes we have overt control, but even all that caretaking is covert control. You know, we're kind of, we're addicted to control. We're trying to get our needs met from the wrong place. And so I was wondering if you, I know that you and Duncan believe in inner healing. I know that you are, that you have sought inner healing. I was wondering if you could share part of your story here in regard to what the Lord is doing with you with codependency and how He is, how the Lord is challenging you on this and healing you in these places.
Yeah. Well, that's amazing. I just want to commend you and Tim for being able to do that, because I think that's the biggest thing, is actually coming to a place of agreement.
Yeah.
Because, you know, as soon as you suggest something to your spouse, this is how it can go with us. Yes. Then there's a, you're inferring right away that I'm codependent and I need help. And why are you telling me that I need help? You know, because you need help. And you get into this little cycle with each other. And it's just the reality that, you know, we're wired differently. And so sometimes the way we say things is not going to land very well. And I think that's one thing that we've really had to begin to knuckle down on is the way we communicate with one another. Because we have got into patterns of doing things and saying things. And because of our backgrounds being different, I was raised in a different part of the UK to Duncan. He was raised on the mission field in Nigeria. So he was raised with multiple cultures. And he learned a Nigerian language that is very tonal. Mm-hmm. So when he hears me with my tone and my intensity at times, he's off put just by the communication. And so when it comes to codependency, I think we are learning to recognize more and more our individual differences and needs. And my tendency was just, well, you can do it. You're really good at it. Whereas his heart behind is like, no, that is stressful for me. I can't do that. That's mm-hmm. too many people. I need some downtime. And I think I've realized that I've pushed myself upon him in ways that I could have given him more choices. And I think the reverse would be the other way for him too, that he's mm-hmm. put things on me and not, you know, we were raised in an era where children were seen and not heard in ministry. You know, if your parents were in ministry, they were serving the Lord, and therefore children kind of took second fiddle, second mm-hmm. place emotionally. So we were never given a voice to express because they didn't know how to handle anything that was kind of contrary to the will of God type of thing.
Yeah.
And so we feel like we're learning communication skills that we didn't actually, we weren't given permission to share when we were children growing up.
Yes.
And so I think, you know, 34 years on, I think we're finally getting to the place where we realize we've got issues between us more and more, but yet we can solve some of those by really pressing in and asking the Holy Spirit to tamper the way we present ourselves and say things, so that we're yearning for connection over being right.
It's good.
Well. So I've said a lot of rambling there. I don't know if I've really answered the question.
No, it's good. Yeah, no, I'm going to kind of respond back with some of the thoughts I've had and some of the things that the Lord's been doing in us. But so we kind of have some, for Tim and I, we kind of have some agreements that we look at and read over sometimes, like it's okay to feel, it's okay to ask for what you need. We try to stay away from blaming, button pushing, mm-hmm. case building. And so we have statements that we read. We have these statements that we read. And so anytime the temperature starts to rise for us, either one of us can say, hey, can we read our agreement? And then we just go back, and it just reminds us to get back in our right mind, that we can ask for what we need. We can say what we feel. And for me, it's kind of easy for me to get in touch with what I feel. For Tim, you know, he was raised by engineers. You know, lots of boys,
trained
male culture. Yeah, he's very high IQ, creates systems all the time. So it's like, what do I feel? What do I feel? And it's a lot easier for him to get in touch with what he thinks, but he's growing in this. And one of the things that we both realized is how much the past is present. For me, I grew up in a lot of trauma. And so it's pretty easy to see there's fear, you know, for me, there was fear, and still is sometimes, fear of abandonment and fear of being scapegoated. But Tim's background is such that he had a grandfather that was an alcoholic, and then he had a military family, very loving, very good family, but there's little trickle downs, right? From, from having alcoholism one generation back. And so we both have some of these pieces of don't talk, don't feel, don't trust that we've kind of uncovered, that the Lord's uncovered. And it's interesting because it's really only pain and love for the Lord that drives you here. You know what I mean? The Lord over the past 4 years has brought some circumstances to squeeze us to bring this out. Mm-hmm. It's interesting because God dwells with the contrite, right? And so we've humbled ourselves. We've gone down. We've gotten on our face. We're like, God, search me, know me. And we've really done this really hard work. Now we're in an epic comeback. Now literally the season has shifted.
Yeah.
But woo, you know, and so I want to say to anyone that feels like they're in that bottom, you feel like you're circling the drain, embrace it, be with God in it. He is there, but let him reveal what he wants to reveal in that place.
So good. So good.
All right. Well, that was part one of our two-part series with Pastor Kate Smith. And we're going to listen to the next part next week, next Tuesday, it'll come out. Don't forget that we have some free resources for you at drbarbaraministries.org/rejection and drbarbaraministries.org/self-parent. Make sure you forward this podcast to someone that needs it, someone that's struggling with pain in relationships, marriage, or any relationship. And make sure you're following us on YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, and all the places podcasts are released. Send me any prayer requests you have at drbarbaraministries.org, Dr. Barbara at drbarbaraministries.org. I love you.